Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show. As we head for the weekend, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, Bob Uner also here too, and Steve will be there in just a sec from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Friday edition of our show always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up. If you're heading to Penn State Pitt this weekend, you get to Brewers Outlet tonight. All your favorites, and including a terrific special going on now through Tuesday, Corona and Corona Light, 24-pack bottles, $27.97. By the way, Brewers Outlet, you can also, when you're there, you can pick up your tickets for Brewfest on Lake Augusta. That happens next week on Saturday, September the 21st. Penn State's on a bye, so no conflict with a game. All right. So get your tickets for Brewfest while you're at Brewers Outlet and get your snacks. Pickles from the pickle bar, fresh roasted peanuts, and ice, too. All that you'll need for, even if you're going to have a tailgate at your place this week, or of course, the necessities for what you'll need before you head to Happy Valley tomorrow morning. All at Brewers Outlet, the super-stocked beverage superstore, Reagan Street in Sunbury. You can reach out to us by email. It's stevejones@wkok.com, email address. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And subscribe to our podcast. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. And after you find us in your search engine where you get your podcasts, hit the subscribe button, and we'll send the shows right to you. After they air live on WKOK, we'll drop them right into your smartphone and tablet. Listen to them anytime, anywhere. And also, you'll find at least 3 months' worth of archived shows on our website at stevejonesshow.com. All right, so we are, well, about this time tomorrow, we'll find out who wins between Penn State and Pitt. Airtime will be 10:30 tomorrow morning for the tailgate outside the Jordan Center here on WKOK. At this point, final game in the Penn State-Pitt series and version 100 tomorrow. And we'll hear from Steve's longtime friend, Paul Alexander from AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh. Paul checks in later. And, of course, we never start the weekend until we hear from Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. Get the pick segment at 4:35 later today. All right? So we look forward to that. Phillies last night able to salvage a split in the series with the Atlanta Braves, and next up will be Boston coming up this weekend. So a rare night off tonight for the Phillies. And then they'll play tomorrow night, 7:05, and then Sunday afternoon at 1:05. And of course, both of them here on 1070 AM. They'll have Monday off, and then they'll start a series, another series with the Braves, but down in Atlanta next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I believe the Thursday game in Atlanta is a day game next Thursday. So we'll be bumped next Thursday, and we'll move up our high school football roundtable to Wednesday next week. So a little look ahead to next week for you. So week four, high school football rolling tonight. You've got the rivalry. You've got the Braves versus the Seals from Shikellamy Stadium. And we'll have that for you tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Hearn, the Chief, Dave Ritchie, be on at 6:30. And if you want to hear the Seals play-by-play tonight, that'll be on Eagle 107 beginning at 6 with Game Day. Pat O'Brien, Dave Hess will be along at 7:00. And I'll be over on Eagle 107 tonight after the Seals-Braves game for Sunbury Motors Game Night. Wrap up week four for you. Also tonight, the Tomato Bowl at Alumni Field. Milton entertains Lewisburg. That'll be on 100.9 The Valley. Airtime 6:30, kickoff at 7 with Greg Wetzel and Justin Michaels. And your week four slate tonight features Jersey Shore heading to the Silver Bowl to take on the Mount Carmel area Red Tornadoes. Bloomsburg at Loyal Sock, Hughesville at Central Columbia, Shenandoah Valley at Midwest. Mifflinburg, undefeated Mifflinburg, 3-0, plays in Danville tonight. Danville has been in the news this week with the resignation on Monday of head football coach Jim Kaiser. Now you got the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator running the team. And there's some members on the school board want it that way. Southern Columbia at Shamokin, Muncie at South Williamsport, Warrior Run at Montoursville, Newport at Upper Dauphin, Line Mountain at Juniata, Wyoming Valley West at Berwick. By the way, Sewell's Grove will be traveling to Berwick next week. And tomorrow you've got Kawanishi Valley at Columbia Montour Votech. So check out our high school scoreboard page, WKOK.com. We'll constantly update that for you throughout the evening as the scores and games move along. All right, so we'll take a quick break. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motor Studio momentarily. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll continue to talk Penn State Pitt. Paul Alexander checks in, and of course, our pick segment. Steve and Kevin tied at the top, and yours truly in the cellar. Pit of misery, dilly dilly. See if we can make some hay this weekend and move up in the standings. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones' favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
We'll get connected with Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Bob Buhner, great to see you, sir.
Thank you, Sean. I was with Kevin Herr talking about tonight's big game on WKOK 1070 between, I call it the Battle of the Bridge between the Sealands Grove Seals and the Shikellamy Braves at Shikellamy tonight. Should be a really good match. They seem like two evenly paired teams. We'll hear that.
Sealands Grove has been, it's been tough sledding for them the last couple of weeks, losing 36-0 to Jersey Shore, 76-0 to Southern.
Oh, yeah.
The last 2 weeks. So I think it's the right time to just cleanse the palate, get that out of the way, and focus in on their big rivals coming up tonight.
Yeah, rivalry games, Sean, are special events, especially in high school, given the unpredictable nature of kids. And we'll have to see which team steps up tonight. Starting, I think airtime is what, 6:30 might be?
6:30, that's right.
And then kickoff will be at 7. And so you also get to hear the same game from the Sealands Grove perspective on Eagle 107, I believe.
Yep, we'll have that at 6. We'll have Seals game day on at 6 with Pat and Coach Dave Hess at 7. So if you want the Seals perspective, you can go to Eagle 107. And if you want, of course, the Shikellamy call, we've got that here on WKOK.
So we're actually filling up the entire press box at Shikellamy Stadium.
Pretty much, yeah. That's right.
Well, I think there's another game I think that's got drawn a lot of interest, and that is Mifflinburg at Danville tonight. Ironmen are 6 seconds away from having a 3-0 record, losing to Loyal Sock by the slimmest of margins after being ahead and losing on the last play of the game. And then Mifflinburg coming in tonight is undefeated. And, of course, there's been lots of controversy in Danville with Coach Jim Kaiser, 10-year veteran, resigning literally in the middle of the season. That hasn't helped. We don't know how the young high school players will react to their coach's resignation, which, frankly, was forced by some school board members in Danville for reasons no one really knows because they've kept it all a secret.
It's been interesting. It's very rare. I mean, even it doesn't matter what level you're talking, high school, college, or pro. It's just rare for a coach to lose his job or to walk away in the middle of a season, whether it's game 2, game 9, game 12, doesn't matter.
Yes, yeah, this isn't the Yankees and George Steinbrenner firing Billy Martin from time to time to time. This is high school sports. Coaches are just slightly above volunteer status. They don't do it for the pay. And the other part of it is Jim Kaiser's had an incredibly successful record. I think he's like 76 wins or 78 wins in his, and only like 36 losses in those years. And he's been in the playoffs. He's had his team in the playoffs many, many years. And again, big secrets. Coach Kaiser, in his statement announcing his resignation, indicated that it appears that there's some kind of vendetta against him by a school board member, and you hate to see that kind of undue influence affect high school football. You know, again, they're not paid a lot of money. They're basically volunteers.
And that's caused a trickle-down effect. There was supposed to be a meeting this Wednesday to officially, you know, chart the future, whether Coach Kaiser was going to stay or if he was going to step down or if he was going to be forced out. But he nipped that in the bud Monday by announcing his resignation and made that official by getting in contact with us here at WKOK.
Yeah.
And since then, well, they still had their meeting on Wednesday night, but since then we've learned board members have left, and including the president as well of the board.
The president and vice president and longest-serving members of the Danville School Board have all resigned at Monday at sometime. The longest-serving one resigned before the meeting.
I mean, you've had a long-time presence in Montour County.
My 67 years.
When's the last time you see anything like this?
The question isn't really about this in Danville. The question is, this is unprecedented statewide in Pennsylvania. In the last 4 months, 5 of the 9 school board members have resigned, and 4 of the 5 for certain have resigned in large part over Jim Kaiser and, quote, because they're disappointed that he was forced to resign, and about the culture that some board members have created in the community where Jim Kaiser became an issue. He doesn't want to become an issue. He wants to coach football. And, Kevin, the interesting thing is 10 years ago, Danville was searching for a coach, and no one wanted to come to the area because of a school board. Jim Kaiser worked for the U.S. Bureau of Prisons, and he coached the midget teams in Danville, the elementary and middle school teams called the T-Railers, and he had tremendous success with those kids. And so he reluctantly took the coaching job as a favor to the community. And 10 years later, this is how they treat a good man. And I say this, I don't know him personally. I have congratulated him. I've patted him on the back. I've even, you know, one time there was a questionable thing that happened in terms of a play he called in at the game. And I said, "Coach, that was a stinker of a play." And he looked at me and smiled and goes, "Hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it?" and he was absolutely right. So we'll see what happens tonight with the Danville Ironmen, their home, playing the Wildcats, who are a surprise team from Mifflinburg. I really have to say that. I'm not sure where they'll end up this season, but coming into Game 4, Week 4, with a 3-0 record, has to be impressive.
And you and I were talking off-air about this. There have been some years earlier this decade where Mifflinburg was off to a quick start, 3-0, 4-0, and then their record and their play would level off a little bit. But
yeah,
quite a few are surprised that they're cooking 3-0. But they got a terrific quarterback in Gary DeGroote.
Yeah, and the problem for Danville is they have a young secondary on the defensive side of the ball. Kids that were in middle school last year are manning the defensive back positions.
So we hope to get in connection here with Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio, looking to get that squared away.
It'd be
so
neat.
Hang in there as we make that happen for you as we approach kickoff tomorrow at noon in Happy Valley between Penn State and Pitt, which you will be there.
I will be there. And
letting you in.
I go incognito, and, of course, what I
How
like...
How do you pull that off?
Well, heavy makeup.
Who do you borrow that from?
I have to keep my secrets.
That's true.
Anyway, I'm going to go over to the Bryce Jordan Center at 10:30 to hear our good friend Steve and Jack Ham do the pregame show. I'm bringing a friend of mine from my law school days from Jamestown, New York, who actually interviewed Steve Jones years ago when Steve was up in Jamestown, New York, announcing a State College Spikes game. So those two guys can renew their friendship, and looking forward to what I think will be a very challenging game. And here's why I say that.
As Steve has mentioned, you know, the competition continues to get more and more. You know, Idaho 2 weeks ago, Buffalo last week. You know, look what the halftime score was.
Yep.
Until Penn State opened it up in the third. Tomorrow, even stiffer competition as we get that out of the way before a Big Ten play starts in 2 weeks.
Let me use an analogy on this. Years ago, a Warrior-run team came to Danville in wrestling, and they absolutely kicked the crap out of the Ironman grapplers. And after the match was over, one of my friends, who happens to be the wrestling coach at the time, asked me, "What's going on?" And I said, "Coach, this is a huge rivalry game or match." And he looked at me funny. I said, "And Warrior Run beating Danville is the biggest thing of the year on their schedule. And for Danville, they don't even know about the rivalry. No one told them." And I think the same for Pitt Penn State. To Pitt, this is a huge rivalry game. This is a big game. This is their time to make a statement on the national stage. And I don't know that Penn State looks at them as such a rivalry. So I think that counts for something, Sean.
Well, Steve brought this up yesterday, and it's actually something Steve's heard of course, but something that really hasn't been kicked around. This is Pitt's first home game. This is Pitt's first away game.
Yeah, they've not been outside the confines of the Berg or Heinz Field this year.
So for a lot of these players, that'll be the biggest crowd they'll ever experience.
By far. Now, they do get some games in the ACC where they are that have some pretty nice-sized stadiums, but nothing as big as the Beaver.
Yeah, like when they play Notre Dame, for instance.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. All right, so we're approaching the bottom of the hour. That's Bob Buhner. I'm Sean Carey. We'll continue to get connected here with Steve, see if we can make that happen during the break from the Sunbury Motors studio. For sure, Steve will be talking with Paul Alexander from AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh, and then we'll get connected with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, from up in Connecticut with our weekly football picks, college and pro. See if all of us can go 8-0 this week and make some coin.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here. Bob Buhner here as well.
Oh, Sean, we're going to get a call, it looks like. Maybe it's Steve. He was up in a hang glider, I heard, over central Pennsylvania and missed the landing zone.
1-800-795-9565. Steve from Lamont, hello. Nothing there?
No.
Nothing there. Okay, let's try this.
There we go.
It's like my first day on the job. Steve from Lamont, you're on the air.
Yeah, right.
We found you.
Oh, I've been sitting here. I mean, after I listened to that intriguing Mifflinburg conversation for a while, I was almost blown away.
It's big in the valley tonight.
You didn't walk out of the room, so that's good.
Yeah, you're still here.
Thought about it. finally said to myself,
"Self,
what would the suit do?" Right, and then I did 180 of that, and I called in.
Exactly.
Not to be confused with mailing it in.
Yeah, and we're glad you found us, Steve.
Yeah. We'll have to. I think we sense what the problem is, and the problem is not here, and the problem is not there. We'll leave it at that. How about that?
Yeah.
The problem is not here.
It's exactly.
The problem is not there. There's a way to make this work where there's a third party.
Well, is this some kind of clever riddle that Sean and I need to figure out, or can we consult
Sean,
Kevin?
No, Sean already can tell you what the riddle is.
We understand. So, Steve, are the Lions ready for tomorrow at noon kickoff?
Well, based on what I saw this week,
yeah.
I would say that I thought they practiced well before Idaho. I thought they practiced pretty well before Buffalo. I thought the Tuesday practice was good, but Wednesday was like, eh. This week was, every day it was good. So, based on practice, every day was good. And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, practice is just a foreshadowing of what teams are going to do in a game. I never bought that theory that some coaches say, well, practicing good doesn't mean you're going to be good on game day. Don't think so.
You know what, though? And James touched on this last night. You know, there's some people who are labeled as, quote, gamers. Well, if you're a gamer, guess what? You aren't playing much, because if you don't go out and practice well and practice the right way, look, I always love when I hear, well, you know, coaches have to decide who's going to start. That's not the reality of sports. The reality is the individuals, the players, actually make the decisions as to who starts. If you practice well enough and you show you should be starting, you start.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't practice well and somebody else practices better than you do, they start. The players determine who plays. The players determine who practices. And I always love he's a gamer. Well, guess what? I don't want the guy that's a gamer, right? I want somebody who plays the game really well, who actually cares enough to practice really well, too.
Mm-hmm. It seems that one of the question marks going into tomorrow's game for Penn State is the running game. Last week against Buffalo, not the strongest performance by Nittany Lion football running games. Will we see a strong running game tomorrow, Steve?
You know, that's hard to tell, Bob. I really can't tell. And the reason I can't tell is the sample size so far on everything is so small.
Sure.
Two games in. You know, what kind of gauge do I have on Pitt? What kind of gauge do I have on Penn State? You know, I only have a basic gauge on everybody to this point, which I think should be the answer everybody has. I mean, the Penn State running game has not been, quote, ultra productive so far. Okay, yeah, that's accurate. But that doesn't mean it can't be, because we just don't have enough of a sample size yet. So let's get to the next part, all right? When you look at it, Clifford has been good. He needs to be good for all four quarters, because I think one of the keys of this game tomorrow is a very simple one, but I think it's an important one, and that is get out and play with the lead. As you know, I've talked about this. It's something I've talked about repeatedly over the years, so anybody's listened to the show or listened to me do Penn State football or basketball, you know how often I've referenced over the years how important it is to play with the lead. Playing uphill's hard. Playing uphill's really hard. It is hard in terms of energy. It is hard in terms of psyche. And if you can be the team that gets the lead, now you can be the one that sets the tone for the game. Because you're the one playing with the lead. You're the one now that can maybe take a chance or two. You're the one that now makes it so that they are one error away from being put away. And what this football team, Penn State, needs to realize, let's go back to the Buffalo game, is you can win the game in the second quarter. You don't have to win the game in the second half. You can win the game in the second quarter. And, you know, they're very usually get you usually get three opportunities to win a game and put it away. Obviously, one of them's at the end.
Sure.
Another one sometimes can be probably right around, you know, end of the third quarter leading to the fourth. But sometimes you can win it and put it away in the first half, right? So you can do that early in a game. And they've got to realize that they have the capability of doing that by setting the tone early. So I think the team, you know, we could talk about running and passing and everything, but get to the lead.
Well, doesn't that...
Because actually, you look at all the three games in this series... Okay, what's been the key in all three games? The team that got to the lead.
And then, Steve, what I think happens in those cases is the team that's behind usually has to go away from their game plan, and they have to also take a lot of risk that they probably were hoping they wouldn't have to take if they were even or slightly ahead. So if you can get Pitt out of the comfort zone early... by getting, say, up by two scores somewhere before halftime, that's going to shift what Pitt does and what Penn State does favorably to Penn State in the second half.
And conversely, say Pitt gets to the lead.
Yeah.
And now you're on the road, you quieted the crowd, you put more pressure on the home team, you put more pressure on the favorite. So that's why the playing with the lead part is not a small thing. It's a big thing to me in this game. Because then if you get to the lead, Penn State gets to the lead, now it puts the level of doubt into Pitt's head.
Oh yeah.
Right? I mean there's a lot of psychology with goes, you know, and I don't mean just scoring first. Get to the lead. Right? You know, be the team that then sets the pace for the rest of the game. Make the other guy play catch up. I just think that's important. Now, how you get there, then those are the other keys that come in. Can you get, you know, they only got one sack against Buffalo. They'll need more than that.
Yes.
But it's interesting. I had a couple of people say to me earlier in the week, there are two players they were disappointed in last week. They were disappointed in Robert Windsor, and they were disappointed in Tariq Castro-Fields. And this is Monday, Tuesday, right? Okay, I saw the Pro Football Focus grades. Guess who were the three highest-graded defensive players for Penn State on Pro Football Focus?
Well, I think you know.
John Reed.
Yep.
John Reed, Tariq Castro-Fields, Robert Windsor.
Well, as I was...
Right, because I looked at the people like, what are you talking about? You know, do you realize that Reed this year has given up four catches the whole season for 24 yards?
You know, Steve...
You realize that Castro-Fields has given up four catches this year for 20 yards. You've only given up 44 yards from your two starting corners all year.
Well, Steve, when I was listening to you do the broadcast Saturday night, you were calling Tariq Castro-Fields' name a lot and also Windsor's name a lot. So I think that's really misplaced or misguided criticism.
Yeah, I was completely confused by it. Like, I mean, I had like three or four people come up to me on Monday, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I kept thinking to myself, did I miss something?
Yeah.
And then I saw the PFF grades, and I looked at the PFF grades, and they're the three highest-graded guys. Now, Reed was a given. Everybody said Reed played great.
Oh, yeah.
But I was completely baffled.
Well, Steve...
I said, am I missing something? Then I saw the grades, and I looked at the grade-out sheet, and I went, okay, I don't think we missed anything.
Well, the question is going to be, will the defense dominate Pitt like they did the second half against Buffalo?
Well, look, you have to get pressure on Kenny Pickett. You really do. And for Penn State, what's been a given over the years, they had 47 sacks last year. They had seven sacks in the opener. They only had one sack last week.
Yeah, very surprising.
So now you go into the game thinking, okay, wait a minute. You know what? They're going to need some pressure from those guys. I don't care whether it's four or five or what combination you do it in. But Kenny Pickett, when he has time, is a very good quarterback. When he doesn't have time, he struggles. And they need to do it this game in such a way where they give him a narrow window of opportunity to succeed. And that means they have to get pressure on him. Because if they get pressure on him, then things get a little bit out of whack for him. But when he has time, he's good, and he can move. He can move, but again, the difference is going to be getting pressure on him, making him do things quicker than he wants to.
Sounds like we're going to see some blitzes then Saturday afternoon.
Well, yeah, you can get there with four, though, and there's a way. There's ways of doing things too.
Sure,
Bob. I mean, you know, you can get there if you get there with four. You can drop seven. Now you're fine. Now, do you do it maybe in a different way? Do you zone blitz? Because Windsor, for example, dropped off in a zone blitz a couple times last week. There are a wide variety of ways of doing that. Where now they don't know from which angle you're coming from, even though you may still only be rushing four. That's where, you know, we'll see tomorrow how they want to do it, and maybe they can get pressure just with the front guys. Maybe they can. I don't know. We won't know until we find out. I'll say this. If I had to pick one guy in that offensive line for Pitt, I'd sit back right away and say, that dude is a good football player. It's Jimmy Morrissey, their center. You're going to see two really good centers in this game, and Jimmy Morrissey and Michael Mennett. They're two very, very good players.
Well, you know, Pitt has had that great tradition going back to the 70s of really superior linemen. Mark May, Bill Frelick. Et cetera.
Jimbo Covert. They did, but that was a long time ago, Bob. When Penn State, when they renewed this series in 2016, I thought the strength of that football team in 2016 was their offensive line. I'm looking at the tape before that game. I'm like, wow, that is a good offensive line. I mean, really good. But I think as time has gone, that has gone from being a strength to still being good, but not the strength of the football team.
I think
that's been an issue.
Yeah, I think we think of Pitt as always having colossally large linemen who can move and have some speed and set the tone for the running attack that they would feature.
And the running attack's been good. I mean, James Conner, terrific.
Yeah.
Allison, terrific. Hall, terrific. Now, the young backs they have are good. They're good. A.J. Davis, Vincent Davis, Todd Silby, good. They took Malik Carter and they moved him out to wide receiver because they needed somebody else out there. Now, Jacques Louis may be back for them. I don't know. We're going to have to find out. If he is, then Carter can move back to tailback. But Carter was out playing wide out. The other part, too, is if Carter's out playing in the wide out of the slot, you can run jet sweeps with him, too, because you've got another running back out. There's a lot of things they do. The first play of the game they ran against Virginia, they put two offensive linemen out in front of French, the wideout, and only had three on the offensive line to snap the ball back to pick, and they ran a screen out there. It was the first play of the game they ran against Virginia. So they do stuff like that, but for the most part, this is a West Coast offense that they run.
Well, we're going to... The one thing I said to Sean earlier in the last segment, Steve, was out in western Pennsylvania and all around Pittsburgh, Pitt views Penn State still as their biggest rival.
Sure.
And I don't think Pitt or Coach Franklin view Pitt the same way that Pitt views Penn State. You know, James Franklin is a one-game-at-a-time guy, the Big Ten, and, you know, the Ohio State-Michigan games, etc. I think that Pitt will come in with a huge attitude about this rivalry.
That's why I'm saying get to the lead.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand
get to
that.
The lead.
I agree.
Because, you know what? You can come in with all the attitude you want, and it's amazing. The great philosopher Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Okay? The great philosopher Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan until they get hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we all have okay? You can come in with all the attitude you want. The second you get knocked in the chops, what's your plan B?
Many times, no plan B.
Right. I mean, so that's, you know, that's what you look for in this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's one thing about doing talk radio. I talk about the talking season and so forth.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, all the stuff, for example, I say during the course of the week, it just leads up to the game. The game is what everybody's anxious for. to be played, and that's where you find out what really happened.
Yeah. And that's,
right now, yeah. I don't care how much I'm around it. I'm still in a guessing game like everybody else.
And, you know, that's why there's going to be 110,000 or so folks be at Beaver Stadium and a few million around the country on ABC watching this contest for those reasons, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Football Friday, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve is there in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Great to have Bob Buhner here.
Good to be with everyone this Friday afternoon in the Valley.
Yeah, Steve had a chance to talk to Paul Alexander from AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh, so we'll have his conversation with Paul next hour, discuss the Penn State-Pitt series, then we'll finish out the week with our football picks at 4:35.
Should be a lot of interest in those picks.
I'm 8-7.
Wow.
Not good.
No.
Yeah, we've come out of the gates very, very slow.
Very disappointing. I have a feeling that... Did you pick the Steelers over the Patriots?
I did.
Of course you did.
I did. Well, that's the thing. Last year, I picked... Because the game was at Heinz Field, but I picked the Patriots over the Steelers.
Whoa.
Yeah. This year, it's like, nah, I figured, nope, I got to take the Steelers, got to stick with them. I went with the same philosophy that Stefano did when he took the Giants over the Cowboys.
Right. And... let me guess. Steve picked the New England Patriots. Just a guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he and Kevin both picked the Pats.
Yes.
Yes.
We understand that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
No, I just won't pick the I just won't pick the Giants to play the Cowboys. I can't do that. Can't pick the Cowboys to beat the Giants.
No.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I understand.
I won't do it. No, no.
Well, Steve, you're a man of principle.
I also lost.
Well, Bob, that's like you and I. We picked the Ravens over the Steelers. You know? You just can't...
You can't do it.
No. Look at the expression you just gave me when I said picking the Ravens over the Steelers.
I have visions of being in the cardiovascular unit at Geisinger Medical Center with
Man,
that thought.
You thought I had, like, octopus tentacles growing out of my head when I... the expression I got from you when I said that.
No. No.
But, yeah, they're three games ahead of me, both Kev and Steve, so we'll see if we can make up some ground this weekend. So,
I think there's some potential out there for you to do that.
It's early.
It is.
It's like what I kept telling Steve's brother last year. It's early.
But, Kevin, to echo on what Steve said, you're playing from behind.
I am. I am. So, yep.
And doing it well with style.
Yes. Thank you.
With panache.
Panache?
Panache.
Panache. Potato, patata.
Yep.
So we got Shikellamy Sealands Grove tonight. The battle, the rivalry. I guess they will have the Rally in the Valley trophy. I guess that they will hand that out.
The Battle of the Bridge.
Well, I thought the Battle of the Bridge was Montoursville Loyal Sock.
We have our own bridge down here in Sunbury to Sealands Grove.
That's true. The Veterans Memorial Bridge is longer than the one that connects the Golden Strip with Montoursville.
So. That's not even a bridge.
Right. And it's green.
Yes.
Wow. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.